there being said that I've had about approximately 1,500 past lives, and I'll have another 1,000 or so future lives. I was interested, I don't know if this has ever been discussed, how many past lives did Jesus the Nazarene have before he had his life as a Nazarene, and did he have any lives after that life?
Of those lives, from that perspective, to be considered past, we see 1,271. Of those lives to be considered future, we see 1,891.
Now that's the Nazarene's lives.
Yes.
So he has reincarnated many times.
Yes.
Since his life as Jesus.
Yes.
This would be surprising to people who think that this person was the Son of God and had one life and made his point and saved us all. Does that person who reincarnated since he was the Nazarene ever aware that he was that person?
Only in two of them.
And when was that?
That was in the late 1400s, one in the mid 1800s.
And what happened when he realized he was that person? Was he quite intelligent to be able to do that?
Well, was surprisingly intelligent. The point is, what could he do with it? You see, there are many people who would say because they have problems with their own identity, with their own image of themselves, would say that they would be Christ in another existence, or Cleopatra, or take choice.
Yes.
But to himself, knowing that enabled him to make choices in the life that was being lived that he would not have made otherwise. That's all.
How did he realize it?
He dreamt.
He what?
He dreamt. And his dream could not have been anything else but real. He was not a religious person. He was not one that suffered from religious hysteria. He was evenly balanced, somewhat religious, somewhat not. Eminently practical in both lives in which it's happened. That it came through with such an intensity, you see.
When he would die, he'd then see all his lives and he'd know it.
Absolutely.
And is he given much respect and recognition on the soul plane by souls who know who he was when they're dead and are communicating? When we're communicating, when we die and we're on that dimension,
yes,
we kind of acknowledge him as special?
Yes, but it needs to be discussed. If you see a person in uniform, much gold braid, much scarlet uniform, impressive cockade hat, and you bow and say, "Oh, great general," and you see that it's the doorman at the Ritz, that is exactly how he says, "You dress me." That is not who I am. You see, the people would ascribe so many things to that soul, but all that soul wants is to be understood for the messages that were done, not only in that life, but certain other lives.
Right, so that the performance, the Passover plot, the performance that Jesus, the Nazarene, and his friends did to affect the people at that time, you know, 0 AD, 3 AD, whatever the date is, the beginning of our Christian calendar, that was a great theatrical art form that group did, you know, in terms of a long-range effect.
In terms of that, yes.
Even though he would probably agree that it created a lot of disservices.
It created exactly the opposite of what he wanted, which was that one does not create unity through the diversiveness of thought. What he wanted was more tolerance, less war, more. His concept was, if slapped, turn the other cheek. Do not come back with anger. Do not continue it. That was his major message. Do not continue it. And what in actuality happened was there were factions, there are schisms, there are offshoots, there, etc., etc. That was not what he said.
Is he alive today?
No.
Will we come back as the Nazarene?
No.
There will be no second coming?
No. You see, there are those that would say that someone will wear that mantle again, called Christos, that someone would reach that position and then be of the Christos. The point is, what if everyone does? Then there is no necessity of this.
All right, now, the way you describe the way the pragmatic person he was in the 1400s and the 1800s, it sounds to me that there were many people in history who are like what we call the people, modern, sort of irreligious, atheistic, intelligent people. There were many people like that hundreds of years ago.
Oh, yes, indeed.
You know, I had a detachment about the social institutions around them, weren't that involved with them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's the kind of person he was.
Yes.
In those lives.
Yes. Yeah. Because, not to go to extremes, his was a moderate path, said, choose a moderate path. And you'll find that entity would choose existences where there can be a moderate path. And being a moderator, also, being a person who would be an arbitrator, a facilitator.
Did you say that entity or that identity?
That entity.
Right. All right, I'd like to ask, go to another topic. Are the Evergreens aware of the person named Billy Myers in Switzerland who has been given much coverage in videotapes of his contact with UFOs, with the Pleiadians? There was a book.
Yes, we have this one, yes.
I have a documentary a friend lent me last night. I looked at it, and it starts like the late 70s and goes up till 80s. There was a major documentary in Japan for him. So this Billy Myers takes photos of UFOs, and he also says that he has telepathic contact with the Pleiadians so that he can go where they're going to be. They show up, he takes movies and photos of the UFOs, and he also says he's been on their craft. Now, I understand the Evergreens in their reading, public reading 1988, that only four people have had that kind of contact with extraterrestrials. Two of them are the Hills, and the other two haven't told anybody. So is Billy Myers telling the truth?
Yes and no. What you see is on film an extension of a mental ability that he himself has, that has been demonstrated by certain other individuals who can, in fact, in truth, make an image on a film.
Oh, so he doesn't see the UFO, but he can project an image into the camera.
Yes.
Onto the film.
It's a technique that a number of people have learned to do. He also. Now, when you see that the first time that he did this, he will tell you, he did not see them, that he pointed his camera in a direction and filmed. And when the film was developed, it was 8mm, he noticed there were images on the film. From that has built, in his own mind, a supportive, yes,
I believe, sort of.
Yes. A scenario full of parts, full of etc. But you see, whenever he go to film where these UFOs would be, he always goes alone, does not take others with him, and there's been no supportiveness from those going with him that have seen them. However, on the development of the film, of the showing of the processed, you'll see that the image is on the film.
Can you pause one second, please?
Going to side two of the cassette.
Etc.
Two more seconds. Still waiting.
Very interesting. So that
still waiting.
That's very interesting. So that nobody knows that he can do that except him.
Except him.
So is he being deceitful here, or does he have an imagined agenda to wake up the world?
No, it is to realize that the supportiveness in his mind will give any reason to support the ability. Any reason. They are a different vibrational level. They are only able to be seen by himself, etc. But now, he's not even fully aware of what he's doing, except the supportive stories in his mind as to support the fact that the film has images on it.
Does he believe what he's doing?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Maybe he is. He doesn't realize these are his own mental creations.
No.
But they are.
Well, they are.
Because he has a psychic ability that he's not aware of.
Exactly. But we assure you, you see the films, and you will say to yourself, well, that's real. However, if you were there at that time, what you would see would be a person pointing a camera at a blank sky, blank hills, blank ground, and you would say, where was it? And you would know by the films that something was there, but you did not see it.
Right, so the dialogues he has and the stories that he's had contact are kind of personal hallucinations of his own belief system?
Yes.
All right, so to me that fits into the idea of the Evergreens have told us that the Buddhis are being very ecological in making this contact, and they wouldn't allow that kind of one person being singled out and that kind of sloppy way of communicating to the human race that there is life out there.
Yes.
It's more skillfully managed than that.
Much.
And as it still stands that there's only four people who have been in the spacecraft?
Who's actually been there. Four people.
Inside a spacecraft. Or...
Yes. As the end of 94, there will be five. But once again, that person will say nothing.
Right.
Until 2 years later.
Until 2 years later.
Yes, in 97.
Why would they have contact with these four people in this fifth? Why are they, would they, and will they have contact?
You're implying by that question that there is a pattern to personality or to purpose. It is basically simple opportunity. Nothing more and nothing less. If you look at the hills, good people, kind people, but that has nothing to do with it.
I know, but was it an accident? Did the Buddhis want to have contact?
No, they wanted to examine. And if you look at the incidences of the hills especially, you'll see that it was done on a place that was quiet, was lonely, and they would never have known about this but for certain small things that caught their attention, which brought them to larger things that then explained the smaller things. Very much different than this individual discussed earlier.
You mean their understanding of what happened to them? Is that what you were just describing, that
no,
they didn't understand what happened?
Small points that led to large points that explained the small points.
Okay.